white hot with a my kush roll, 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 my kush roll.
The Virgin Mary, like
that was real shit that happened. But that goes back to what I was saying, right? Like, if so many people are having this vision, or so many people are seeing something similar, just describing it differently, or it gets lost in translation, there's got to be some validity to it.
And so many people have these stories. Like, I feel like if you sit someone down, they have something weird that happened to them.
They may not want to talk about it, and they may suppress it.
Yeah.
But that shit is real, and that shit happened. Just like this is happening. Welcome, everyone, to Speaker Box Seattle Season 3. We'll edit it in post. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Thank you, everyone. Welcome to Speaker Box Season 3.
Season 3.
Brum, 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 brum. Sorry, Smurfs all kind of messed up right now because she's wondering how long this mic has been hot and how long this mic has been on.
Your editing skills got to be real, bro, because that shit's about to be chopped and screwed.
Chopped? Why did I think of that song?
Well, chopped and screwed.
Screw, screw, chopped, chopped. When I imagine some dude just at the bar just popping and laughing.
Because that's exactly what we talked about that before. Do you remember?
Is that what we were talking? Okay, because I have it vividly in my head, like some dude just jumped.
Yeah, that was exactly what we envisioned collectively.
That T-Pain was just popping a lot of people on strip clubs. But anyway, this is Frank Massachusetts, a.k.a. the Darkwing Dog.
And as always, this is your girl, Bangham Smurfette.
And before we get into the episode, please hit them with the shameless plug, Smurfy Durfey.
All right. If you want to listen to this past or future episodes, you can find us on one of our various platforms, being iTunes, Podomatic, and Stitcher. If you want a one-stop shop for all of those platforms, plus a few social media accounts, check us out at our website, which is SPKRBX.com.
we're giving threats these days. Go
what
ahead.
You're gonna do is you're gonna go ahead, send us an email with a comment, episode idea, some feedback to our email address, which is speakerboxseattle@gmail.com. That's speakerbox, normal spelling, seattle@gmail.com. My voice is sketchy today, so bear with me. I'm gonna do my best.
And also, if you haven't checked out our mini doc that was produced and directed and shot by Dominique Meeks, please check it out.
AKA Ambassador Meek.
AKA Ambassador Meek.
I almost called him Ambassador Meek Mill.
No, because then he would be taking L's. He just wakes up and takes L's. He eats a box of L's every day. It's not Cheerios. It's just a box of L's. Anyway,
we need to make that.
A box of L's?
A box of L's.
We did have that idea where we just start handing out little business cards. They just have a black L on them.
But if we could monetize this and make some L's, just wake up to an L.
Just wake up to a box of L's. Oh, yo, and we have Meek Mill as a spokesperson.
Oh.
Oh, look, that shit will sell.
That shit
would fucking sell. They'd be like, look, I'm eating these L's like Meek Mill.
What flavor is it? Tears.
Tears.
Tears and broken jeans.
Dreams and nightmares. Anyway.
All right, so what are we talking about today?
But what we're talking about today is, all right, so we've come to this point in our digital age where tapes, obsolete. 8-tracks, obsolete. CDs, obsolete.
8-tracks ain't obsolete to me.
Vinyl's still popping in the streets.
Apparently, it's like a hipster thing.
And apparently vinyl's still selling. Like, it's still selling in these streets, right? But we're at a digital age, so everything's just direct to the consumer. Get it online, get it free, pay for it, do what you want to do, right? So what we're going to talk about today is this idea of free distribution, i.e. mixtapes, versus exclusive content. Now,
all right.
Now, we're going to try and play both sides of the fence, but we've talked about this before and we're kind of on the same side. But I'll play devil's advocate to an extent.
I think you need to. I think we can just flesh this out and have a fully formed conversation about it because there are both ways that you can look at it.
Right, but not...
There's two ways.
There's two ways. Okay.
Okay, so tell me why this topic came to your mind. What set this off?
So what set this off for me was I remember...
The fuck shit.
Right, the fuck shit, right? Because that's all we do here is we just talk and we dissect fuck shit. That's all we do. So what really brought it to me is I remember the golden age of mixtapes. I don't know if you remember the golden age of mixtapes.
No, I do.
And it was just... And I mean digital mixtapes, not you're at the bodega and you're getting 50 cents, 1999 mixtapes. I'm talking about like that. 2008 to like 2011 where you had major players dropping dope ass mixtapes, right. Dropping them for free and they were crack and they were 9 times out of 10 they were better than the album, right? And then it switched to where they started doing this exclusive content shit where you have to be a subscriber, you gotta pay, you gotta do... It's like that Tidal bullshit, right? Mm. It's like you gotta do all this, that, and the other just to get some shit that you kinda want, but you not really want it, right? Mm-hmm. And it fucked me up because it's like, it's not that I'm not a fan of you, I'm just not a stan of you. And just because I'm not a stan doesn't mean that I shouldn't have access to your music.
Right.
Does that make sense?
No, that makes perfect sense.
So I am a fan of the mixtape game. And, well, I'm sorry. So before I go any further, how about you? When you hear mixtapes versus exclusive content, what comes to your mind? Like, or what fuck shit comes to your mind?
It's really that subscription shit. It's like, you've got to get this to hear that. And the thing about it is, it's like, there's not really anybody that I stand for.
Not even Queen Bee?
Yo, I to this day have not seen or heard Feeling Myself. So apparently...
Apparently not.
I don't stand out as much as I thought either. But I'm just like... You have to, as an artist, understand what it is exactly that you're trying to do. And I feel like when you do that exclusive content shit, you're essentially holding up your audience, the people that like you, the casual fan that comes in and out, who's like, I appreciate you. I don't stand for you because I'm a sane, functioning person who has a 9-to-5.
And has a life and goals of their own.
Right, I don't have time to stand because I'm a grown-ass motherfucking adult. But I like you and I want to listen to your shit. But then you start making me jump through hoops where, because 9 times out of 10, okay, it's exclusive content, but you still got to purchase it.
Right.
So it's like, so not only do I have to pay for the subscription, I have to pay for your shit. Now, there's one person who did it differently, but... He went platinum on the black market.
and we don't talk about it.
But I feel like, you know, you're doing your audience a disservice. And that's the type of shit. And I don't know if I'm the minority in this, but if you pull that shit with me, well, now I'm not a casual fan anymore.
Right. And I think that when you do this type of behavior and you have exclusive content, right, and you discount the casual fan, it's like you're negating their impact on your financial stability, right? Because it's like, yeah, your stands will ride for you and you'll always get that 100K sales or whatnot, right? But you have to understand the inflation and the boost that you get in sales or the boost that you get in attendance at your concert are people who are your casual fans, are people that heard your song on the radio once or twice and they were like, oh, let me go check it out of curiosity. And so if you have exclusive content, you can't manifest that curiosity, right? Because I can't even sample it unless I'm subscribed to you. So it's like I have to pay for something before I even heard it.
Right, and I'm not about that, and I can only use the free trial once, so what are we really talking about? My thing, though, is I feel like the motives of artists have changed over time. So we live in an age where now you can skate by with your fans.
Yeah.
If you're making these kind of exclusive content back-end deals where it's like you get X amount of dollars up front, or you get a partnership with a major corporation, so you really don't need other people. You just need these rubber band banks from Samsung and your 50,000
followers
stands, and you're Gucci. Like, you can go out and these are the people that are going to show up to your concerts. Now, you got to understand that maybe your venue is looking a little different, because who just ran into that issue? Rihanna selling out fucking
Did Rihanna ever run into that issue?
I believe she did, where her shit, her concerts weren't performing like they should have.
It's because we couldn't hear the music.
Because I don't know what the fuck is going on in these streets.
Wait, didn't you say that you went to a Beyonce concert that she like tried to do another concert like a month later or 3 months later? And you're like, bitch, what are you going to perform? Like,
I've heard all the songs.
So it's that shit, right? It's like you have to be part of the in crowd. And it's like, I don't have time for that shit. But my thing is, who does? Like, who does that appeal to as a consumer? Like, as a consumer, what do you get out of that type of business plan?
I think that there's a type of lowlife out there who really takes value in being the number one fan, who really takes who really places value on being a stan for an artist. And so they're willing to do anything. There's no dollar amount too great. You're going to support this person no matter what. And more power to you, lowlife, but I'm a fully functioning adult and I don't have time for that shit.
So do you remember... So, because I'm assuming, because we already identified that the people who are grown ass adults, we don't have time for this shit. Right. Unless like you're running like a blog site or you're following.
There's some sort of payoff for you.
Yeah, there's got
to
be.
Besides just listening to the art.
Right. Oh, no, get the fuck out of here. That's like them fucking Dre beats. It's like, oh, $200 to listen to it, how Dre listens to it. And it's like, so let me get this straight. I got to pay $200 for the headphones and then I have to pay an extra $10 on the song to hear the studio quality and not the rough cut. And it's like, no, this sounds like some fuck shit. Like, how about you just do your fucking job? Give me the great quality, give me the great product the first time around since I'm purchasing this.
Right.
And get the fuck out of my face. But, see, now
I'm wait, was that a selling point for anyone? It's like, oh, somewhere in some studio, Dre's listening to the same quality I'm listening to.
You think I'm bullshitting? That was the selling point.
I didn't remember that.
That was a selling point, was that the reason why they put his name on it was because they wanted to give you the idea that Dr. Dre uses these headphones when he's making his instrument.
But they were still just fucking headphones.
They're still fucking headphones, bro.
Because they were on the ears of Dr.
Right.
Dre.
Just tilted to the side. And so that's why they sell as much as they do, because they're like, man, if we could hear music like Dre hears music.
I thought it was because the headphone industry was severely neglected.
Yeah, but...
Because remember what we were doing before Dre Beats? Them little foam joints.
Okay. Damn it, man. Okay.
Nobody remembers the foam joints.
We're going to skip over that. So, damn it, man. Okay, so let me put it this way. If I tried to sell you a $200 headphone and I was like, you're going to hear it, it's going to sound amazing, you'd be like... Nah.
No, if you told me that the sound quality just in general was revolutionary or pioneering, that's one thing. But if you're gonna tell me that, yo, when Dre's in the studio, these are only headphones, like what? Like, oh, and?
But here's the thing, you see a picture of him, he's like, yo, you ain't got Dre beats, you ain't listening to music right.
I'm sorry.
That's marketing. That's psychological marketing.
That's marketing, but right. I don't think that I would follow for that.
You'd be like,
to me, it was like, oh, these are, you know, either these foam joints
or I can get these drapes.
And they come in cool colors.
So for you, it's just lack of options. She was like, I'll get these drapes because like, these foam joints ain't working.
It was a severely underserved market. That's what I thought was the blow up point. I didn't know it was because we were like, oh yeah, all the mixtape rappers were like, yo, Dre uses
these. Yeah, they use these, so you know, if I listen to it, then you know what I'm saying? I'll get my game up. And they doing this. There's a meme out there. It has a kid crying in class. And they were like, when your dad comes to career day and starts handing out mixtapes to your class, I hit the fucking floor. I was like, that shit is fucking hilarious. But I say all that to say this. I'll get back to my original point. So do you remember as a child or as a teenager or whatnot, having an artist that you stand for? Like an artist that you were like, this is my artist, quote unquote.
Yes, as a teen, it was T.I.
Okay, it was T.I., right? Mm-hmm. So at that time, 15, 16, 17, whatever, and T.I. was like, listen, the only way you could get it is on his website and you got to subscribe for $10. Would you have done it?
Yes, I would have.
Okay, so there it is. There it is. It's like...
Is the episode over?
But so you're telling me, so I guess the business model is that you don't need everybody. You just need enough.
Yeah, you just need enough. It depends. It just depends on what the artist wants. If you're looking for money, then yeah, if you're gonna have this other deal, if your agent or your manager or whatever has gotten you this deal with some X company who's paying you X amount of dollars to have this partnership and released your shit exclusively to whatever subscription service, then you just need enough because you're already getting paid. Mm-hmm. Now, people aren't really gonna hear your shit like that.
But you're not worried about these charts anymore. You're not worried about how many people listen to it. You're just worried about, am I going to get paid or not?
And there's plenty of artists that have went that route. Plenty.
That's true. Okay, so again, back to our point. So does this fuck up the mixtape game? Like, are we going to slowly see the mixtapes, like, dissolve? Because you notice that people are doing more EPs now.
Yeah. Oh, so the mixtape thing kind of confuses me anyways right now. Because back in the day, it was like, we dropped this mixtape, it's hot fire, like, we here go it on is, tour. For free. You're going to hear these mixtape songs in concert. Now it's like this weird thing, like, I'll go to Dat Piff and see a mixtape, and then when I'm perusing iTunes, I see the same mixtape. And I'm like, so is this a mixtape or is this a fucking album? Like, what the hell is happening? Like, the lines have been blurred to this point where it's like, but it's like, then you're trying to monetize this on iTunes, but you're using a song that's another artist. Like, what the fuck is happening? And how are you not getting sued by the record companies? Like, I was.
Like, you need to let that go. You need to let go that they sent you a letter back in college.
No, they try to come for me. They try to get my ass.
Let's talk about, we need all of that.
Yeah.
Well, here's my thing is that I feel like, who did it? It was Nipsey Hussle. I think Nipsey Hussle fucked this up. I know that your dude, I know that your man, the marathon continues. Shout out to Nipsey Hussle.
No, I really only stand for Crenshaw. That was like one of the greatest albums of all time.
Okay, all right. So he had that $100 album thing back in the day, right?
I'm not even familiar with that.
Okay, so basically he had about 1,000 albums that he was selling for $100 each that had his autograph on it or some shit like that, right? But you could download it for free at Dat Piff. He was just like, for my real fans, if they want a physical copy of the song that they can get for free, they can pay $100 for it.
Sure.
And he sold all 1,000 of them, sure. So he made $100,000, right?
For your real fans.
Right, exactly. So I think that's what people got. That's when shit got fucked up. You're like, so is this a mixtape or is it an album? Because it's on iTunes, but it's also on that, so I can get it for free,
I'm
or I can pay
you,
for it.
That album that Mike Will Made It came out. This is the first time I know it. Mike Will Made It came, whatever the fuck that shit was called.
Okay.
I looked on Dat Piff, listened to the whole goddamn album. Then I went on iTunes looking for some shit, and I saw the same goddamn album. And I was like, well, either I could get with this or I could get with that.
You could get with this or you could get with that.
I could pay money for that shit, or I could go to Dat Piff and get it for free, or Hot Mixtapes. .com.
Hotnewmixtapes.com. Yeah, and the thing is that I feel like for an up-and-coming artist, nobody's really checking for mixtapes. Like,
there's people that check for mixtapes.
There are people still scouring these websites for the newest hot artists.
You gotta understand that there's different types of fans. There's stands.
Right.
There's the person that's like, I'm always up on the new shit. I'm about to put you on.
That new? Okay, yeah.
That new.
Right.
The casual, like, hey, J. Cole, you told me too many times that if I don't know the song, sit the fuck down, so I'm going to sit the fuck down. And if you've been to a J. Cole concert, you know exactly what the fuck I'm talking about. And that man told me that shit twice. And I said, you know what, J. Cole?
I like how there's got to be at least 6 episodes where you brought this up. And it's like,
because it was offensive. It was like, I paid money to come see you, and now you're going to disrespect me because I don't know your MySpace shit. Like,
get the fuck out of here.
Get the fuck. And you are a beat rapper at best.
Yeah. Hey, people say he's the new Nas. And I'm like, nah. you're dope for your, we're not going to get into it.
So how do you feel about just the mixtape game in general?
I feel like I said, I feel like there was a golden period where people were dropping hot mixtapes and they got you pumped for the album. Now I feel like when people drop mixtapes, even if they're major artists, it's literally throwaways. Like, they're just slapping that shit together like a sloppy peanut butter and jelly sandwich, and they're just giving it to you. Some of the quality is good, some of the quality is bad, some of them are hits, some of them are really, really misses, and you're just like, this is terrible.
You know, okay, so I'll get back to my original point.
I'll tell you one that fucked me, that Trap Wiz mixtape. I was like, this is the wackest shit I ever heard in my fucking life. And I am a Wiz Khalifa fan. I would consider myself a Wiz Khalifa fan, but that was the wackest shit I heard in my life. I had to dissect all they had like 32 tracks on it. I was like, no, there's 12 good ones. I had to delete the rest of them. And now when I listen to it, I'm like, yo, this mixtape was kind of dope. But then I have to remind myself, it's like, no, you cut this down by a third to get what you wanted to get to. I'm sorry.
I think the problem with me is that I can't tell what the real mixtape is versus that thing that some dude put together at 3 a.m. Yeah. in their apartment. Because I was like, wait a goddamn
minute. DJ O Solo. That new hot Drizzy mixtape.
But going back to your point, I think
Summer 16 mixtape. It's like, what?
It's like, who the fuck are you? And why do you keep yelling at me?
I'm sorry, go
ahead. I feel like there was...
You gotta do it one time, at least one time.
That was like the unit, like every... You remember when every mixtape had a
And you were like, look...
Or the ones that just went into the next song. Like, there was no, like, end of song. It was just, like, it faded into the next song. So anytime you listened to a song, like, if you wanted to skip to that track, you had to hear, like, 30 seconds
of the last song. Yep.
I love that shit because if you let it play, though, it sounded dope as shit.
But if you're looking for that one song,
no,
you're
like, it was over. Yeah. My thing was, like, what you were saying with the Golden Age of mixtapes about how a hot mixtape would come out that made you pump for the album, but then the album would deliver.
True.
Now, it's almost like it's flipped where I think that there's been more, I feel like there's been a lot of good mixtapes recently.
But not dope. Like, what's the last mixtape that you were like, this is dope?
But then again, that goes back to my point. It's like, I don't know what the fuck is really a mixtape and an album that you decided to post for free. I don't know.
That's true.
I'm not young and hip anymore. I can't decide for these things. But now, even, okay, so say someone comes out with a decent mixtape. Okay. Has you a little pumped. Okay, they got... How I felt about Young Thug.
Okay.
Now, for those of you that know me, know that I used to ride pretty hard for Young Thug. Now, I wouldn't say I stand, but I was very pumped about him.
Okay.
Heard some shit, heard some features, heard a few mixtapes. Okay. The album comes
Busting
out.
Busting out the band. I'm sorry, go ahead.
We don't know what the fuck he's saying, but... It's dope.
It's dope. It's
it was dope.
The bitch was smart and list. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Now, I was pumped for the album. Mm-hmm. I don't know why. Hindsight is 2020. I don't know why I was pumped, but it was. That Barter 6 came out, and I overnight went from being a Young Thug fan.
To saying fuck him?
To not being a Young Thug fan. The album was so shitty. And I was like, did you even give a fuck? Or did you just know that you had created a certain buzz? So it was disrespectful. That's what it was. He put out some shit that I'm sure he knew wasn't good.
Yeah. Because he's like, they're going to buy it regardless.
Fuck you, Young Thug.
So I think that's what artists are. So when did artists get so jaded? Like, what did we do as the consumer to jade the artist to the point where they're just like, we're just going to give you some shit and you're going to accept it? Like,
I don't even think it was us. I think it was just the record industry in general. And I'm not saying this because I was sued.
Are you sure? Are you sure, Smurf? Like, let's talk about
this. No, I mean, we know, you know, the TLC stories, the Papa Dot stories. I don't know why that was the only, and I know he's not a real rapper.
The MC Hammer stories.
Where, you know, you were moving, you were going platinum, and you're broke as shit. Because the record...
Happened to Tribe Called Quest, too.
I'm sure it did. It happened to most artists of that time. I mean, the deals were so fucked up that it was like, damn, I did all that and I have, and I'm in debt. I owe you for all these advances that you gave me because you made me pay for my own tour for the music videos.
The tires.
Like, I think that artists had to get smarter. And I understand that. I think that's why you've seen the influx of people that who were just like, fuck the record companies. I'm going to be independent. And now we're seeing, remember when being independent was like...
Only E-40 and Too Short could do it.
Only.
E-40 and Too Short could do it, yeah.
Only. And now it used to be like taboo. Like, oh, you ain't got it. You independent. Oh, okay, good luck with that.
It's either you're the three or four that are actually doing it, or you just independent and you ain't got no goddamn money.
But now there's tons. Mac Miller. Doing it.
Getting it.
Getting that money all in his pocket.
Wow.
But, and so I feel like artists had to get smarter. But then there was that everything, the paradigm always shifts. Now we've gone to that other extreme where artists have gotten so smart that if they're just in it for the money, you know, I mean, artistic integrity, whatever, but for largely the money over fame, then you're going to start doing these things where you might necessarily not give a fuck about your consumers. I mean, because let's be real, in the music industry or any industry, really, if you're a public figure, you only have X amount of time that you're going to be hot.
That you can capitalize. Before
you have to reinvent yourself. And you know that's hard as shit.
Yeah.
Not a lot of people. And that's when you have icons. Mm. People that successfully reinvent themselves decade after decade. But the average artist, the Young Thugs and the... I don't know why Papa Doc... What? Did I just watch 8 Mile?
Look. Papa... Shout out to Papa Doc.
He's not a real person.
No, he is. He's the guy. He's Captain America's best friend.
Oh, that's right. Anthony Mackie.
Yeah, that's Papa Doc. Every time I see him, I'm always like, you froze up at the shelter, though. Like, yeah, you got the wings and everything, but you froze up at the shelter, my G. I'm just going to throw that out there.
But I don't know. That threw me off. So.
Cross the lines.
In conclusion,
I would say,
I'm just joking. We're not in conclusion. This is like the shortest episode ever.
We're giving y'all five. Yeah, because we don't give a fuck about our consumers. We all about these dollars. Nah, we give a fuck about our Goon Squad. We going to give you that prime, that primo, that Papa Doc. I don't know why Papa Doc came in my head either. God damn it. Like.
And we just want to shout out our sponsors, Casey's Hot Wings.
Come on down to Zippies. You can look, let them live. Let them live.
Zippies. It's not Zippies. No, it's Zippies.
That's what I'm saying.
No, you're saying Zippies. This is like the cool whip.
I can't do that, by the way. I can't.
I can't even.
Cool whip. Or else it sounds intentional. Like, you know, you're just doing this to be like, no. But okay. So I understand artists needing to get smarter about the finances, right?
Mm.
But I feel like that doesn't need to sacrifice. You don't need to sacrifice your integrity as an artist to do that, nor do you need to sacrifice your business strategy to sabotage the consumer as well.
I mean, you know, consumers are fickle anyways. I mean,
true.
We'll just decide true. That you're lame one day. I mean, collectively as a group, be like, no, you're lame now.
Well, because you do certain things, like why you want to go and do that, love, huh? And it's like, nah, I can't do this anymore. Because even when you revert back to your old days, it's like, nah, I don't, you were just shucking and jiving about 5 minutes ago. I can't.
I'm not opposed to an artist coming out and making their money. Get in, get out, do what you got to do, make these, you know, make this guap and do you. Because, I mean, consumers aren't loyal. We see it time after time with these boy bands and these little, like,
Boy bands, like
Backstreet Boys.
Okay.
How fucking big were they?
They were huge.
And then all of a sudden, one day.
They all got
day,
crack problems.
Now, it wasn't that, though. It was all of a sudden, one day, young white girls decided, well, I don't want to do that anymore. That's just whack.
True.
And they plummeted.
True.
All of them tours, all of them albums, all of those
spins. No one gave a shit.
Went away very quickly. And this can happen to any artist. So I'm like, if you want to get your cake, get your cake.
Mm-hmm.
Do you. But just understand that comes with a price.
That's true.
Because when you go on tour and I haven't heard a goddamn thing, well, I'm not going to your tour. I don't want to be like, oh, I wonder if I'll be surprised. Like, I don't want to be the motherfucker in the audience when you tell me if I don't know the goddamn song. To sit my ass down. I don't want to be in that position anymore.
You sound emotionally scarred from these two experiences.
Because the more I think about it, the angrier I get, like progressive. I know I've talked about this several times, but each time it takes the level of anger up just a notch.
So by season 4, if you see Smurf on the 5 o'clock news because she has murdered and stabbed
I told him he had the one time and then he did it again. And I was like, you know what?
She got a root on you. She got your name in a glass bottle.
In the freezer.
And he's going to knock on your door. He's going to be like, nah, for real. I need you to
so
take that shit down.
So what do you think is a happy medium?
So I feel like a happy medium is... I really feel like the EP is a happy medium. I really do. Because an EP is like 6 or 7 tracks, mm-hmm. right? So if an artist is like, hey, I want to experiment, like they would do with their mixtapes, mm-hmm. they're like, hey, I'm letting you know right now, this is some experimental shit. It's some shit that didn't make the last album, but I'm thinking about going that direction. Here it is. Let me know how you feel. cut the price in half, like $1 a track, $5 mm-hmm. or whatnot, mm-hmm. call it a day, right? I feel like that's a happy medium because the consumer knows what they're getting. Mm-hmm. The person's still getting their guap and whatnot. And you still have some type of integrity, right? Because yeah. you're telling the consumer what's going on. Mm-hmm. As opposed to with these exclusive content deals, it's like, hey, when we drop it, you'll get it. It might be good. It might not be.
Who knows?
Who knows? But we get your money every month. So it don't really matter. I could go 4 months without dropping some shit and you got to pay it anyway. And it's like, the fuck? Like, why would I? And here's the thing, though. Here's the thing. My G, I could give two shits about some of these rosters that are on these exclusive content deals. I think Daft Punk is on one of them. I am not spending $20 a month hoping and waiting and... Did I spit in your eye?
A little bit.
Hoping and waiting that they're just going to drop a song one day out of the blue moon. Like, I don't care. I mean,
the smart people cancel the subscription, and then when they drop it, they reactivate the subscription.
Under a new email address? But
no, you can just cancel it.
Can
and
you?
And just sign back up.
Okay. Or, like, another happy medium is, like, Spotify. Right?
For some reason, I don't fuck with Spotify, and I don't know if it's because it's like, we'll let you listen to the album, but how we want you to listen to the album. You're going to get a track here. It was, at least when I went to Spotify, they were like, here's the album, put in your queue. But it didn't play consecutively. It was like, here's a song. Here's five songs that aren't on the album. Here's another song from the album.
Are you talking about on your phone?
Yeah.
Okay, so that's what happens on your phone. If you do it from your desktop, it doesn't do that.
Well, you know what? I don't log into a desktop computer to listen to Spotify. And I don't really know too many people. They're like, let me get out my laptop. Let me go sit down in a chair in front of my desktop computer to log into Spotify and get the party jumping from my desktop computer.
All right, so a way to get around... Okay, I'm kind of giving away game, and I might Spotify.
No, you don't have to do it. I don't want them coming for you. We'll talk about it off air.
Okay, but there's a way to get around that on your phone.
Okay, like, I don't know how to hack into the mainframe.
Okay, yeah, there's a way to get into the mainframe.
But because of that experience, I was like, I don't have time for Spotify, so I'll just do the random shit of Pandora and be like, I don't know, just give me whatever. If it sounds like Gucci Mane. But with Pandora, it's like... It so quickly gets so far away from what you intended to listen to.
And all roads lead to...
Computer love.
And all roads lead to computer love. All fucking roads. You could be listening to the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle soundtrack. Computer love!
Like, they always find... And you start to see when it starts to spiral... Because it was like,
You have to check that shit, though. Like, if you start using the thumbs up and thumbs down, you're like, motherfucker.
I do that. And I'll be like, I'll put another artist on there. I'll put a song that sounds like the shit I want to hear. So, don't be spiraling off. Because all of a sudden, you listening to Mozart, and it's like...
No, because I remember I made a... So, don't judge me. I made a Tone Loke playlist.
Of course you did.
Shout out to Tone Loke. So I made a Tone Loke playlist, right? And started playing the usual stuff, like, you know, just bust a move and just... And then it started doing like, everybody dissed. And I laughed hysterically for like 10 minutes just from the songs that they were picking. I was like, this shit's amazing. And then it started playing Computer Love. And I was like, no, absolutely not. Absolutely not.
Now, I'm always for Computer Love. Like, I love me some Computer Love. We could play it all day if we wanted to. But I don't know how I started from X and then I got back to Computer Love. Like, it's like, what? I was listening to Anita Baker.
All right. So we're getting away. But okay, so it seems like music industry went from you had to buy it whether you knew what you were getting or not with like CDs, vinyls, tapes, because you had a bunch of album cuts. You just had to go off the singles, right? So I guess the radio was our Spotify and our Pandora at that time because that's what we were doing to stream it.
I mean, real shit. I think it comes down to the shift in power amongst the music industry.
So it went from the industry to the artist.
I think it was, I mean, because, okay, let's even take it back to like the 40s and the 50s. The power laid in the hands of the DJs.
Right.
Okay, then it went to the record companies. Mm. Then it's in the consumer. Now it's in the artist. The artist, I feel like, has the ultimate power to dictate what the fuck that they're going to do with their career. And it'll shift eventually because the fact of the matter is...
But what will it shift to?
some sort of that Chance the Rapper shit where everything is free and then we just come out to concerts.
Yep.
Like real shit.
Yeah.
I could see it going there.
I could see people just getting fed up and be like, no, I'm not paying for this shit.
I'm just not going to. There's too many options.
That's what I was going to come back to. I was going to end it with that note. It's like, no, you can't have exclusive content because there's too many rappers and I can get 7 Travis Scotts. And not pay for this one.
Yeah, Travis Scott. I could get 7 of you. I know you haven't pulled this shit that we're talking about. I just need you to know.
No, I got 7
y'all,
because
that's a group. No,
right. I heard some shit. It sounded just like him. I was like, this shit's jamming. It was like random dude number 5. And I was like, all right, figured out the formula. No, I'll take it. It's free? Yep, got it. I want all of it. Need all of it. Fuck you. Oh, not paying for shit. So, I'm sorry, I cut you off.
There just needs to be a better platform than that, because I'm not going to scour fucking SoundCloud for your free shit.
You can't navigate SoundCloud.
You can't!
You can't navigate
it. It's the most un-user-friendly. It's just like...
You can't find anything. Even if you want the song, you can search the song you're looking for, and you're going to get 9 remixes.
Right!
And you're like...
Who's in control? Like, this shit needs some, like, SEO, like, immediately. Like, there needs to be some sort of, like, search engine optimization for this shit. Because I don't know, when I search, like, a major artist who has advertised it, they just uploaded it to SoundCloud, I get Gary the Juice Man.
Gary the Juice Man.
In Alabama.
Shout out to Gary the Juice Man.
I think I'm going to become a DJ under that name. And they're going to be like, what?
What? Gary, just made you show. We going to spin these. And hey, yo, fuck all the DJs who claim that they're DJs and they're just running their iTunes playlist. But go ahead.
I mean, that's an epidemic. I don't know anybody. Isn't like the art of actually like spinning dead? I mean, there's like 2 people that know how to do it.
But it's dope when you find somebody that does. They're actually like, and you feel like you're watching Juice, except you're watching it live, and it's just cutting and scratching.
I don't know. I'm just kind of like, let the beat drop, man. Like, we've been doing this for 16 minutes, which you...
And he said... Into the woo. Trippy. Bops. Like... But like, I just imagine there's some dude, like when you hear them trap songs, like them festival beats and whatnot, I just imagine there's some dude in his room going hard.
Just upload that shit to YouTube. Hard. I want to see the process. Like, that's even more interesting. Like, you just going ham.
Like, he's like, so I pop a Molly.
And I just feel the beat.
And I just feel the beat. Just rocket, rock. And just going
hard. Because there can't
hard.
Be some sort of organized process for that. Like, it has to be, like, I took drugs.
Yeah.
And now I'm banging this shit.
And it can't be.
Banger.
And it can't be in some, like, subdued state where you're just like, oh, no, the EQ needs to be a little bit higher. Oh, no. It's some dude just pressing buttons and going hard in the fucking paint. And I need all of that. I need to be there when I'm witnessing that. So we'll end it like this. We're all about giving content to the consumers in a quality product, but we at the same time, we understand that the power is in the hands of the artists and they need to get their money, and we're all about that. But artists understand there are a lot of us out there that will do it for free.
And I think that's probably when it's going to change, when it'll shift, when everybody thinks that they can pull that exclusive content shit. Because not everybody can pull that. If you're not a big name, because if you notice, it's only really the big names right now.
And they're struggling. With the exclusive content, it's like...
You roll that dice. When I tell you, feeling myself, I don't know what it sounds like. I don't know what it looks like. I hear Nicki and Beyonce are having a blast at the video. Could not fucking tell you.
But do you give 2 shits?
No.
There you go. That's all that matters. I don't give a shit.
Is that the name of this episode?
I don't give a shit. As a matter of fucking fact, that is the name of the episode. That's how we're ending it. Is to all artists that are on this exclusive content shit, let you know from Speakerbox Seattle Podcast to you, we don't give a shit.
And then when you do go perform live in concert, just know it's going to be a whole bunch. It's going to be a stadium full of 14-year-olds. Have fun with that.
That can't drink, and you're going to be doing 18 and under clubs, and then you're going to have those problems. And then you're going to be like Tyler Quelle performing your new El Dallas Fairmont. Your new album. I got this new album. He really said it. I got these new album cut.
And I was like and what did Quali say? Hey, man, why don't you play that Simon Says one more time?
And he played it one more time. And that's when the girl was like, oh!
And we went up just like we did the first time.
Yep. Brah, 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 brah. But if you want more episodes, but again, we can give our opinions. We can give our opinions, but we want to hear from y'all. If y'all are not about this exclusive content bullshit, or if you guys are for it and you guys have a case for it, let us know. And Smurfy Durfy, please let them know where they can do that.
Send us a motherfucking email at speakerboxseattle@gmail.com. That's speakerbox, normal spelling, Seattle@gmail.com. If you want to listen to all the catalog episodes that we've done from season one to season three, go to one of our three platforms being Stitcher, iTunes, or Podomatic. If you want a one-stop shop for all that shit, go ahead over to our website, which is speakerbox.com. That's
S-P-K-R-B-X. S-P-K
for R-B-X. Into the woo. Whoa. 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 Whoa.
Whoa. Whoa. No, I know how I catch you off guard with my AKAs. That one got me. I did not see that shit coming.
And then I'm going to put some. This is brought to you by Gary the Juice.
Gary the Juice. Juice, juice, juice. You got the juice now.
I'm gonna have some girl going, you got the juice now.
Oh my God. Oh my God. That's a fucking hit. That is a fucking hit. Before the beat drops, it just builds. Wait. We're gonna end the episode, but here we go. We gotta get this down. We're gonna get this down. Go.
You got the juice now.
That's it. That is a fucking hit.
And I'll be at.
She'll be at Sasquatch.
Check me out.
Which is hella far, by the way. I looked that up, and I was like, this shit is like in fucking Lacey, Washington.
And it's like, if you go, you can only go for like the 3 days.
Really? You can't do day passes?
When I looked, it was like there were no day passes. It was like, if you come in, be prepared to stay for 3 days, motherfucker.
And get a tent.
I'm not about that tent.
I'm not about that tent life either, because that sounds like a rape party.
And it always is. It
sounds like a rape party. Like...
And I'm not about that life.
I'm not about that life. That's that fuck shit. So anyway, this is... I almost call myself Smurfy Durfy. This is Frank Massachusetts.
And this is Gary the Juice.
And this is Gary the... Yes. Yes. Fuck Smurf is Gary the Juice. I'm referring to that from here on out. And we'll see y'all. This is Speakerbox Seattle Podcast Season 3. Ooh. You bitch.